It now gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker for tonight, Glenn from Santa Maria.
Glenn, alcoholic.
Hi, Glenn.
Move some of this out of the way. Give me some room. All right. Late alcoholic.
Hi, Glenn.
All right. Wow. Overwhelmed when you're standing up here. There's so many people out here. It's like, oh, wow. I'm always grateful to be able to do this. It's nice to be able to be on the other side now and not... and know that the ugliness that I had to deal with in my life and the stuff that I had to go through and is all useful now to somebody else. It all can be utilized to be able to pass it on and help an alcoholic who's suffering. And sometimes the alcoholic in the room, it's not the new person that walks in the door, not to take anything away from that, because they are the most important person in the room. But sometimes it's for the person who's unwound the steps. Right, because I've been there, and I'm uncomfortable. I don't really want to be in the meeting. I don't want to sit through the meeting. Those meetings are all the same. My attitude is really just off course, and I have so much contempt prior investigation going on. My assumption process is not in acceptance at all, and I seem to just think I can't learn anymore, and I'm dying inside, and I don't want to say so because the stuff you heard me say just a few weeks ago sounded really good, you know, and I'm dying. The truth is I'm not in a good place. And to get honest about that, to pull another alcoholic aside and say, hey, you know, this is where I'm at, man. Like, that meeting hit home, but I got to tell you, I'm not applying any of this stuff in my life, and I'm acting like a fool again, and I'm doing things that have plenty of outsized issues all over it that aren't drug-related, if you know what I mean. And I'm not in a good spiritual place. And I've had to do that to stay here in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've had to tell on myself. I've had to make sure that I got honest with another human being. Sometimes it's not always on a group level. There's stuff that I'm involved in my life that's not bringing out the best character in me. He knows. Brother Bob over there, I used to go by his house all the time in early sobriety. I think we met I was about 8 months sober. And I would go by, and he scooped me up. I was secretary in a meeting. And he scooped me up, and we became good friends. He would do Drop to Rock with me. A lot of folks, I think, have done that book and read it and applied it. And I didn't know anything about these defects of character. I didn't understand how to change that character that was in me, because alcohol was a subtle foe. It's waiting in the wings for me to just do enough to feel bad enough, to feel guilty enough, to have enough shame enough to pick up again. I didn't know anything about that. But I'd go by and we'd sit down and we'd talk about these things, and you know, and I got honest with them. I'd say, this is my behavior, you know, and then I'd leave all inspired, right? I'm good, man. I had the meeting of meetings, and I got honest with somebody about where I'm going and what I'm doing, and it lasted about a week. And then I'd fall again, and I'd come back to meet with him the next day. It's always the day of, right? The day before is when I get that. And I'd go and I'd say, man, I did it again. He'd be like, oh, that's all right, sit down. Let's review and go back. And never gave up on me, you know. And I think that's what Alcoholics Anonymous is in a nutshell. It doesn't give up on us. You know, I'm a more than a three-time loser. I'm a 3,000-time loser, you know. If there was a number on it, it'd be infinity. I was so caught up in my dysfunction that I was afraid to find a new path. I needed to hold on and survive to everything that was going on in my life, because that's all I knew. You know, I took that well into my adulthood. As a child, I grew up. I grew up in Guadalupe, California, right here. and you can picture a younger kid with a reddish afro, right? And did not fit in, right? And it was complicated. I felt distant. Before I even picked up my first drink, I felt not connected with people. My family was very dysfunctional. My mom was an alcoholic, full-blown. My dad wasn't in the picture, so I had abandonment issues. all the way up and through. I can remember until I started working on those issues. And my mom ran from the law a lot, so I learned how to lie. I learned how to cheat. I learned how to manipulate at a very early age. My grades were F. It wasn't for straight Fs. I wouldn't be a good student. It was just Fs all the time. Even in PE. How do you fail PE, right? It got to a point where I didn't even show up to class. Everybody, they got me in one of those programs where they're like, you don't belong in regular school because you're so dysfunctional and you're always fighting and getting in the way. We need to put you over here in this remedial stuff. And I do the remedial stuff and I failed at that. You know, I failed at that. And if it wasn't for low self-esteem, I wouldn't have any, you know. I was told all my life that I was no good. I looked like my dad. I was a liar and a cheater and manipulator. And then when I went with my dad, he'd say, you know, you're just like your mom, you know, you have outlaw ways. And he tried to beat it out of me. And my mom tried to beat it out of me. And it was just all bad. And what do I do to fix myself with this? I start to feel that I need to find the people who are just like me, right? The ones that understand the beatings and the things like that, the dysfunctionality of it all. So I get involved with a group of people in junior high, which turned into all the weed smokers, and you know, they understood me, and so I fit in for a while, and then that partying thing kind of took off, and I felt apart with someone. And so that was important to me, but I still had all these feelings I didn't know how to deal with. So I masked them through drugs, and then I found alcohol, and it was just a mess, you know. When I decided to do something in my young adulthood, I was 17 years old. I wasn't doing well in school, and a friend of mine said, hey, we should go in the Marine Corps. Let's do the buddy program. And I thought, man, if I could make it through the Marine Corps, they'll make a man out of me. I'll prove something to my family. I'll prove something to society. I will be able to walk with a purpose. I will stand tall, right? And I'll grow up. Like, you know, this is great. I'll do that. I go in the Marine Corps, and it's just the exact opposite. My drinking got worse. The drug usage got worse. I did everything that they told me to do. I learned everything I needed to learn to be able to graduate with a honorable discharge, and I did that at a young age. But I always tried to fix myself through outside stuff. If I just worked out enough, if I just had the right relationship, if I just had the right money, if I had, it would smash these insecurities that I had inside me, right? Because I always felt less than. I didn't feel a part of. And society was cruising by me, and all my friends at that time were doing stuff with their life. I wasn't. I was working 5 hours a day, working at a really nice restaurant. I was a flambé cook at the tableside. And I was using my mouth and my showmanship skills to be able to survive in life. And I still did not understand that I had a brokenness in me that needed to be attended to. And so I continued down that journey and that path and went through not only one marriage, but two. Filed bankruptcy 3 different times. Had a credit score less than 400 several times. And I'm self-serving off survival techniques. My survival techniques and mechanism is all I know. I don't know anything about principles. I don't know anything about, you know, being kind and loving and tolerant. You're in my way. Don't you understand? You know, here's what I am. You don't know me. And I got insecurities coming out my kazoo. I feel just so horrible about the women that I married. Oh, my God. You know, they never could do enough for me. It was never enough. There wasn't anything that could be filling this hole that I had in my gut and my heart and how I felt apart from people. I learned at a very early age. I remember panhandling and running away from home and surviving out in the streets and living under bridges. And man, you don't know the stuff I've done. And I don't have time to go through all that because now I've only gotten 35 minutes. So I'm going to get sober quick, right? But you know, like I was damaged goods. There wasn't anything that could fix me. There wasn't an outside circumstance, a right fitting or anything. And I had tried Alcoholics Anonymous several times. My first meeting was in 1988 and down in the Burbank area. I was going, living around the Studio City area. I was trying to become an actor. That was a whole another dream, right? Yeah, yeah. I found, like, because of the showman skillships that I had, and I knew I could put on a good front, I thought, well, I'm going to go down to L.A. and I'm going to do this. Well, I slipped down the wrong street, fell into a crack pipe, and that was it. It was crack, prostitutes, in crack and prostitutes. And that's the best that I could do. And I had no survival skills. So this broken man in front of you doesn't have any of that stuff going on in his life today. It's different. That's how it used to be. So if I can sit up here today and be confident and tell you about how it used to be, like I'm not afraid to tell you about there were sex issues, there was dysfunctionality, there were insecurities. And today, a lot of that stuff's been so minimized, it doesn't control me today. You can do it. If you're having difficulty in your life and you're homeless or you don't have anywhere to go or it just seems troublesome in your life, you're in the wrong relationship or in your wrong part of your journey or whatever you want to say, and you're sitting here today and you feel like your life is over, it's not. It is just beginning. It is just beginning. And you can find what I have found here, which is the love that I have for myself. You know? I have joy in my heart today. I have joy in my heart. I fulfill this joy by working through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, being able to have a spiritual experience because of the steps. Each step led me to a journey within myself. It really did, you know? When I conceded to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic, game on. Now I don't have a choice to drink. I don't want a choice to drink. I don't need a drink, but I got all this dysfunction. I don't know, you know, how to really do a relationship, you know, at all. I don't know how to manage my finances. I'm still a bundle of nerves. But when I conceded to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic, I knew something had changed in me, and I had hope. I had hope because I saw the hope in your eyes. I saw the stories in you. If my brother Stan, right, when I met Stan, he saw me at the worst of the worst. So a lot of you had seen me, you know, at the worst of the worst. If you know me back then, I was an in and outer for quite so many times, right? I would go in and I would go out. I'd come get 20 days, 30 days, 40 days and go out again. And that went on for a while. But I remember Brother Stan. I met him. It was like 2012, 2013 when I met him. I didn't get sober until 2015. October 1st, 2015 is my sobriety date. And I just celebrated 9 years. But when I met Stan gave me a commitment at this meeting, right? Because I knew that I needed to have a commitment. If you were going to get me to keep going to the place that understood me, because I'm a good starter, but a lousy finisher. You know, we really, you know how we have all this great emotion, inspiration, and then we sizzle out by the end of the week and we drink again. That was me. But I met Stan and he gave me a commitment at a meeting. He said, hey, why don't you be the birthday guy? Why don't you be the guy that lights a candle, announces the birthdays, and that'll be your commitment. And Stan ran a pretty good meeting, you know, like that place was full, and there was cakes at the meeting, it was a birthday meeting, it was a speaker meeting, and that was my first real commitment in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember I was trying to separate myself far enough away from the alcohol, but I did it dry. I didn't do anything my sponsor was telling me. I was kind of just moving forward into the meetings all the time. I didn't really understand the book. I didn't understand the promises. I didn't know where the directions or any of that stuff was laid out. My sponsor did a really good job with me about doing the next educated right thing, so I did that right. So I did the best that I could, and it kept me sober, you know. And I did that for so long until I got really uncomfortable again. And as I was approaching on my first year of sobriety, I remember taking my cake, and people took cakes before me, and they were like, I'm so happy, my life is good, I'm back with the wife, I got this, I'm back in school. And I took my cake and I said, my life sucks. I hate these feelings, right? I'm on jealousy, and why'd she do this to me one more time? And the wife had left me, and I was alone, and I didn't feel well in my life, and I just knew I had conceded that alcohol was no longer the answer, and that was the best place for me, right? It gave me a turning point, a very small window of a turning point that we talk about in Chapter 5, to be able to say, okay, I need to do something about these feelings. Because I got anger issues, I got jealousy issues, I got abandonment issues. I am a mess. Nothing works out for Glenn. I got low insecurities. And that's when my journey started. I started taking direction. I started listening to a lot of speaker tapes. I started getting involved with people who were doing the work. And I was following their lead. And I was still uncomfortable, but I was following their lead because that sustained some hope. That gave me the second step, right? I had hope. I had found hope. So the principles behind step one is honesty. I had to learn about what rigorous honesty was, you know, defining one person's character about themselves. And when I looked at, and I really took a good inventory of myself and looked at my life, I said I needed a lot of work and no relationship was going to fix me. The marriage that was taken out of my life needed to stay out of my life so I can learn more about Glenn, right? I didn't have any business falling in love. I didn't have any business trying to get wealthy. I didn't have any business trying to fix outside circumstances, you know? I just needed to do the work on the inside. I heard it before in meetings, do the work on the inside. It's an inside job. And I'm like, what are they talking about? I'm so disconnected on the inside. What do you want me to do with that? And I went through a few sponsors at that time, and now I'm, you know, approaching year two. And as I'm climbing into year two, I filed for disability with the Marine Corps because I come to find out that, you know, I've had several bouts of cancer in my life. But I found out that possibly because where I was stationed, I was one of those North Carolina dudes, you know, that you see. Yeah, that's me. Before you heard about it, I had filed many years ago. And it was because of Brother Bob who met me to another friend who was having difficulties that I didn't know. And he took me aside and he said, you know, I've heard you had cancer issues. And I didn't know this dude, right? But I'm sober and I'm taking direction. Right? I don't have a life worth living. I'm working 60 hours a week at a car lot. I don't know myself. I'm still very busy. I don't have time for your steps. Don't you understand who I am? And I meet this guy, Jeff, from Fresno. And he says, no, you're going to file. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And he kept on me until I did. And it was the best thing I ever did because it ended up in my favor. It ended up in my favor to take care of me, to allow me the time that I needed to be funded, to where I can go and get busy in Alcoholics Anonymous and start to work on who I needed in my life, which was a relationship with my Creator and a relationship within me, right? That was a blessing in disguise because I still sit up here today. I'm cancer-free, but I'm never in full remission. I have to do maintenance on that thing every 3 months. I go to the doctor. They put me through an IV deal, and I don't want to get all complicated in that, but I'm good. Right? I'm proactive and I'm good with that. And I treat that with the same attitude I do as I, when I work these steps and fit the broken pieces of my life back together. I learned that in Alcoholics Anonymous, how to be proactive, right? How to not take no for an answer and find a solution through good work. How to be accountable in my life for the things that are going on in my life. Not being all in control, but being able to diversify between fear and faith. Have some faith, have some trust. And I learned that here in step three, trust and faith. That's the principle. I learned these principles not until about year five and six. I'm here and I'm doing the work. I'm uncovering, I'm discovering, and I'm discarding. I'm not real comfortable in year two. Some stuff's going on, but I get the disability. My son, my nephew gets murdered at Elmer's Bar, right? A lot of people heard about that. And it was a shooting. He got killed, wrong place, wrong time, and destroyed my family. And I, at the time, was not very close with my sister. We weren't doing well with each other, right? But I suited up and I showed up anyway. And I went to court and I allowed myself to be a good brother. I learned how to get past the feelings of uncomfortability and not be all about Glenn, that I can actually be somewhere doing the next indicator right thing so somebody else can feel okay. And I worked through that, right? And I had to work through stuff while I've been here. Sobriety is no picnic sometimes. We deal with things. We deal with death. We deal with loss. We deal with feelings, right? But I was told it's not how you feel. It's what you do, right? It's what you do. And by taking action in my life and being able to do the things that I needed to do to stay here and feel a part of and do the work and uncover the mess that was going on in my life, I've been able to walk tall. I've been able to feel good on the inside. I've been able to get closer to my Creator. I've been able to find these promises in my life that I didn't believe in when I got here because I was broken, man. If you had my life too, you would drink and use and run and do. You would do it, right? But there's no more excuses. I'm out of back pocket plans, right? And I got these good leaders in my life like Bob and Lee and Billy, and like they're loving on me, man. They're giving me direction and loving on me, you know, and I'm trying to fit in with the in crowd in AA, right? Whatever that looks like, right? I want to go to the barbecues, and I want to, you know, I want to attend the nightly get downs on Friday and Saturday night. I want to go bowling. I want to be sober softball. I want to do all these stuff, and that's all fun stuff. I'm not downgrading that at all, but I needed every one of those people in my life that were gossiping and just as intoxicated as I was. And I needed to have that in order to stay here, because I wasn't ready to take on the steps and utilize principles in my life. I wasn't ready. I was still way outside the box. But you know what? I found that over time, all that stuff came to an end. It didn't fix me. All those activities didn't fix Glenn. I still wasn't willing to complete the journey, right? I got into step four, and I started to realize that I'm pretty messed up, right? And I remember writing down those resentments in column one and the causes in column two, and I remember writing down how it affected me in column three, and then it said, where were we at fault? Where are we to blame? And I remember writing those things out in the other two columns, and I came to conclusion that I had a lot of defects of character. I had a lot of defects of character, and they owned me. And I got to another turning point in my sobriety where I said, no more. I'm tired of feeling this way, because I can't go back to drinking. I mean, I could, but if you've really done a good job with the conceited part, you know drinking's not an option. You just got to feel it. So the answers will come if my own house is in order. Well, I had enough own house in order to realize that I needed to do more work. And when I went ahead and I went through the inventory process as it's laid out in the outline of the book of the big page of 66 and 67, and I was able to do the work and take the directions out of the book, and I had a sponsor sit with me and be able to listen to the things that I knew where I was wrong, I took the people in column one and I discarded them. I discarded them, just like the book gives me the directions. When I'm ready, I discard column one and I put it over here and I look at me. And I go, wow, I need some work, you know? So who's going to do it? Is it me? Am I going to remove? Does it say, Glenn, remove your defects of character? No, it does not, does it? It says God, right? It's like this awakening that started to come over me was real. It was profound. And now I'm in year five, and I'm dizzy still, right? There's another round of cancer in year four, and I got fear and anxiety and emotions popping out of my kazoo, and nobody's going to want me anymore. I what's the point of living? And then it came over to me, you know, why don't you just get closer to your creator? Why don't you lean in? Why don't you lean into Alcoholics Anonymous? Why don't you get closer with prayer and meditation and ask God, you know what, to be okay, that you're okay today, that you can breathe in and out. And I remember picking up the phone and calling Bob, my brother Bob over here. You're going to hear a lot about these guys because they've been very moving in my life. And I remember calling Bob, and he had called me out of nowhere. I'm sitting by, I have this bay window that I like to sit down and do my readings. And I'm in there, and I'm just feeling self-pity. I'm feeling depressed. And I got these emotions going over me. I got no hair, no eyebrows. I got pale white skin, and I think I'm going to die. And don't you understand that I don't want to do this anymore? And about that moment, Bob called me out of nowhere, wanted to check on me. So we started talking. He said, well, why don't you give Tomas a call, this guy from Fresno? So Tomas is like this little cholo guy, about yay high. And he's tough as nails, and he knows the program like the back of his hand. This guy's a leader amongst leaders when it comes to alcohol. I know we're all the same, but he has sponsored many of guys. He's had to deal with stuff. This is somebody that Fresno, they look up, they say, hey, if you want some guidance, go talk to that dude. He's helped me, he's helped Bob, he's helped tons of people. And he said, why don't you give this guy a call? He's going through some issues too with cancer. I thought, finally, somebody that can understand a sober alcoholic with cancer, I'm going to call him. So I give the guy a call. I'm like, he's like, he answers the phone. He says, hello. I'm like, hey, Tomas, it's Glenn. I know who it is. I know who it is. Bob been telling me that you're going to call me. That's how he talks, right? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah. And he goes, what's going on? And so I tell him, you know, my woes, my self-pity, and how I'm feeling about everything. And he says, so what are you going to do about it? That's me. What? So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit in your crap? Are you going to go to a meeting and share about your difficulties and try to help somebody? When's the last time you've been to a meeting? Like, man, stop. I want somebody to feel sorry for me. Right? But I have respect for this guy. And he says, go to a meeting and share about it. Do something. Get out of self. You're lucky that you get to have treatments. You're lucky that you're breathing. You're lucky, and be full of gratitude that you can share this experience with somebody else. Okay, I got to go. I got a birthday meeting to get to. Bye, click. That's the kind of men that have been put in my life that don't co-sign me. They don't feel sorry for me. They give me guidance. They give me a hug. They lift me up, right? They're not better than. They reach down and they go, this is what we do, right? So I've come to realize that I'm only as sick as my secrets. I'm only as sick as my thinking. And I need to stay away from this a lot. And the only way I know how to do that is to practice these principles. So I remember doing Drop the Rock with some sponsees. We were getting down to the nitty-gritty now in year 4 and 5. And man, there's some great information. If you haven't read that book, it's about character defects that are bogging you down from the sunlight of the spirit. The other book that I read a lot of is Drop the Rock, Ripple Effect, because it talks about utilizing step 10 with step 7. And I don't know about you, but these character defects, they're still alive and well in my body. They're still here, right? But I don't let them own me today. And I don't want them to own me, you know? When I'm working through the steps and I come to realize that in step 5, I practice some, you know, integrity with somebody else. I get honest about me and who and what I am and where I'm at in my life. And I practice some humility in step 7. And step 8, I learn brotherly love. So that brotherly love was really important, because we're all sick as heck in here. I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but on any given day, somebody could be having a pretty bad freaking day. And somebody could be doing something that I really don't really appreciate. Now, do I open my mouth and try to make them understand, or do I keep my big mouth shut and pray for them? I learned some brotherly love. I learned some respect for others and their difficulties. My difficulties aren't the same as somebody else's difficulties. I have to utilize these things in my life, because if I allow my ego to take over, guess what I'm doing? I'm playing God. I'm going to put some judgment between me and you, and there's going to put a wedge in there, and now I think I got something, and don't you understand? And I'm going to start running the thing like I should be running it, and not the way that it's supposed to be ran. See, there's a reason why there's principles in this program for guys like me who are undisciplined, man, who'd like to talk crap, who like to make fun of your demise. That's what we did in the car business, man. We made fun of everybody. And I took that stuff in Alcoholics Anonymous and thought I was going to be a changed man. The only thing that changed is me not drinking, right? I had to learn something about me. I had to learn something deep down in my soul that was disconnected, because I want to run the show to make me feel good. And if you look at me in a certain way and I need you to look at me this way, I'm validating my feelings through you so I can be okay. While I'm running amok. See, that's me. I'm very manipulative, right? But I usually don't think so. What's the book talk about, right? The book talks about, I can go through the pages. I know where they are. But you know what? I just wanted to speak from the heart tonight and let you know what's going on in me and how I got here. You know, I haven't arrived yet. I don't have the attitude of arrival. And then when I learned something about step 9. I learned that if I make an attempt to make these amends, whether they go well or they don't, it puts a little more courage and faith in my favor. It allows me to be humble enough to say and reach out to somebody else and say, hey, I'm sorry. What I did was completely wrong. I have no excuses. I cannot justify, protect, defend my position. Because when I justify, protect, and defend my position, guess what I'm doing? I'm trying to make sure that you know that I'm right, because I need to feel that I'm right. And that's the only way that I can stay connected. I can be removed right away from God's will in a heartbeat, because I have alcoholism. It's all about me. I'm full of selfishness. I destroy the lives around me by thinking that they don't really measure up, but I don't do it in a way that is right in your face. I do it subtly. See, I don't want you to understand about who I really am. Honesty, being honest. When I got to step 10, I practiced a perseverance. So step 10's principle is perseverance. That is an everyday thing. I will read this out of the book. So something that I never did before in Alcoholics Anonymous was utilize these steps. Hard to utilize when I'm trying to remember the steps. But if I can remember a key word in each one of those steps, I can actually pause and I can think about where I'm at in the process. And I can rely on my creator to give me some instincts and answers. I can make a phone call to people like Lee or Bob or somebody else in the program and say, I need to run this by you before I open my big fat mouth and make things worse. Because I'm really good at opening my big fat mouth and making things worse. So on page 84, one of my favorite pages to read, and it's become one of my favorite pages, because it really takes the outline of everything that I've learned here and allows me to see it and keep going. So it says this on page 84, after step 9. So when I work the process and I really get involved with the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, this is my story. And I've done that, and I've done a pretty good job at it, to where now I can view you differently. I can view my life differently. I can say, you know what? I can keep learning. I can keep growing. There are some things that happen with me and the promises that I can relate to. And I'm good. I want to rest now. I'm good. I'm going to stay right here in the pocket because don't you understand? I've got it now. Well, it isn't much longer after that before I know that I don't got it. Okay, I start that restless and irritable and discontent feeling. I got this selfie just slipping back in. It's dishonest. You know, dishonesty is there. And so it says here on page 84, though this brings us to step 10, that's after we've done the work in 9, and only can I experience to go forward if I've experienced what I've done already. If I haven't experienced anything of what I've done already, what happens is that there's no place to go forward. Does that make sense? You get that? Sometimes I talk in riddles, and it sounds good here, but out here it's probably like, what the hell did he just say? All right, so page 84, it says this. It says that this brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue. The word continue. I missed that. How did I miss that? Continue to take personal inventory. What is that? Where am I at in my life? Where are my relationships at with everyone else? Where am I at with my employment relationships? Where am I at with my personal relationships? Where am I at in my life? Where's my part, basically, right? To set any right new mistakes along the way. So any new mistakes. It says it's going to happen. It says continue, and it says to set any new mistakes along the way, right? That's what it says. It says, we vigorously commence this way of living. Which way of living? The principles that I just outlined. That's what helps me get here. It says, as we clean up the past, right? So that's the dirt and the muck and everything else. I just recently did an amends to my first marriage's family. I couldn't get one done with the ex-wife. She didn't want to talk to me, but everybody else was cool. And I did the best that I could when I left that wedding and told her how much I thought, what a great ceremony it was, and on and on and on, right? And so I did the best I could. And that happened after 9 years of marriage. I mean, 9 years of doing Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not married and don't seek marriage anytime soon. So anyway, not that I don't believe in that. I'm just, you know, I'm enjoying this time of my life, right? So we vigorously commence this way of living. What way of living? The one that I'm on. As we clean up the past, we have entered into the world of spirit. But it doesn't say pause. It doesn't say stop. It doesn't say stop growing. It says our next function, that means now, is to grow in understanding and in effectiveness. That's what it says. So I have to continue feeding myself, right? I don't have to rely on my sponsor to feed myself. There are speaker tapes galore on YouTube. Listen to this guy, Bob Darrell's great, right? If you don't know, if you listen to him. Surrender was one of the favorite talks that I've come to realize that was probably one of the talks that got me really into the book. And then California Rob, his workshops on the big book and getting involved with that. I've done that on my own. Because what I do away from Alcoholics Anonymous makes me the person that I need to become to help others. If I sit in a meeting and I just get it osmosisly and I leave and I wait till the next meeting, that's great. That's how I stay sober somewhat, but I don't get recovery. I get relief. I get the relief I need, but I don't recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. So I get outside influential books, right? I've read a bunch of stuff with Don Miguel Ruiz, the guy that wrote The Four Agreements. There's other books that he has to help find inner peace with myself. I don't just rely on the steps that I've done. I continue to grow. I continue to move forward in my life because I want to be able to experience the best of Glenn, not what was Glenn, and get me out of the stinking thinking. So the more stuff that I'm doing in my life that perpetuates me forward into learning, I get the yearning. And it opens up the spiritual awakening. That is step 11. That spiritual awakening, what I call spiritual awareness, comes before 12. Because in 12 it says having had. That's past tense. Where did I get to do that? In all the previous principles and the steps. So I work this book because I believe in this book. This book tells the truth about me. I didn't want to believe that there was a book that can tell the truth about me. I had contempt prior investigation. I didn't really want to do what you guys were doing. I kind of wanted the easier, softer way. I had a lot of yeah buts, yeah buts, yeah buts, yeah buts. You don't understand if you had my life too. And I, you know, it was confusing, but we did it anyway. And guess what happened? At some point, I woke up one day feeling pretty good about my life. And I looked around me and I have a pretty good life today. I no longer allow alcohol to be my maker and my master and creator of disaster. I allow this God that I didn't understand when I got here, who I have a relationship today because I put some work in that relationship, you know? You know? And then if I don't have a creator in my life on the daily, whether it be whatever higher power you want, that's your business. I know mine. I can share about my experiences. My God allows me to stay and practice humility enough to get out of the way enough where I can learn some new experiences and to be useful to somebody else other than me, other than Glenn. Because Glenn likes to get in the way. I need to feel good. Don't you understand who I am? I need to open my big fat mouth because I think it's really important that you hear it. No, I need to just do this stuff. And if I don't understand it, I do it anyway. You know why? Because it works for you. And I see the works in you, which gives me hope, gives me willingness. And then I get to be kind. I can be in a neutral position in Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't have to have anger against anyone, resentment. Stuff's going to happen, but I can listen to understand and have empathy what people are going through. Some people here need meds. They just do. And that's okay. But if I think that the steps are the only solution, I would be shallow. Because I don't know everything. But I know what's worked for me. You can take a broken man like me, and you can help put him back together, and he can take some usefulness in his life and apply what he's learning through the process of recovery. That's the joy. That is the good dope, man. Like, it doesn't get any better than that. I can't get high enough for that dope. I can't. There isn't enough money that makes me feel right. There isn't enough property, prestige, or any of that stuff that they say diverts us from my primary purpose. Now, should I want stuff? Hell yeah. Do I want a house? Yes. Would I like a happy, joyous relationship that I can? Yes. Right? Do I want to go back to school and learn something so I can better my life? Absolutely. Whatever your goals are, you can have them. But don't let, my friend Lee says this, don't let your good life take away your AA life. I love that, man. You know, I've learned a lot over listening. Because my life can get so freaking good that I forget where I come from. And when the new man walks in the door and he's shaking, jittering, or whatever, and I don't want to talk to him because he smells like booze. No, I'm good. Right? Or somebody, God forbid, somebody comes in the room and they've been drinking. Well, what do you think? It's Alcoholics Anonymous. People show up loaded, and that's okay if they have to. I did it. It was my scapegoat. I used AA in my marriage for 2 years before she left. She didn't believe in Alcoholics Anonymous because I was always loaded. I'd leave, and I wasn't drunk yet. But on the way to the meeting, I'd get... right? I'd get to the meeting, and as soon as I left, I'd be... And then I'd have 8 or 9 bottles outside waiting for me in the dog walk, and I'd be gone for 2 hours. She'll never know. She'll never know. Yeah, she knew. And she left. And when she left, my heart broke. I was broken in pieces. My identity went out the door, because along with her, when she left, my identity as a husband went out the door. My son moved to college. He was in Fresno State University marching band. They were moving on with their lives, but I was broken. And I didn't know how to get along. And I had to rent out rooms to stay. God, thank God she allowed me to have the house. When she left, and I used to hear this, when you break women and you break them, they just leave. They don't tell you they're leaving. They just go. They're not as dramatic as me. I'm leaving, and don't you? I'm gonna make sure you understand how I'm leaving, and I'm gonna let you know how much you hurt. They just go. And when they go, they're gone. They don't come back. You push them to a point, they don't come back. And I had to live with that feeling of loss and insecurity about how I was going to get along on my own with my finances. I don't care about the marriage. I don't care about the love. I care about how I'm going to get along. That's what I care about. And I'm only focused on Glenn, you know. But because I was able to do the work here, I've been able to mend and nurture that broken relationship. And today, we have a wonderful, caring, understanding friendship. And it's beautiful. We don't argue about stuff. She lives in a different place. You know, she's with somebody else. She's moved on with her life. I've moved on with my life. Alcoholics Anonymous is my life today. I don't want a different life. I no longer want to seek revenge. I no longer want to seek outside influences to make me happy. I have built a life in Alcoholics Anonymous that is beyond my wildest dreams. Why would I cash that in now? And if you're here and you think your life sucks, you're in a good spot. Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, because that brokenness will turn you on to do something about your life. It did me. And I put into this thing hard. I went hard on it, right? I did the push-ups outside the meetings. I continue to do the push-ups outside the meetings. I continue to walk with purpose. So that way I can give it away. Not only can I give it away, I can find some joyness in my life today. And I to practice these principles in all my affairs, sometimes that's a pretty tall order when so many things have happened to me along the way. I'm trying to move forward, but I keep going back. And God won't allow me to move forward. He keeps pushing me back. And I want to blame God, but really, why am I blaming God? Maybe He's got it. Maybe God's got it. Maybe there's something between God and me that I don't see, that I got to seek to understand, that He's protecting me from doing the things that I think I should be doing versus the things that are in front of me that I need to be doing, right? Maybe that's the answer. Maybe it's going inside. Maybe it's getting here early. Maybe it's staying late. Maybe it's speaking at a meeting. Maybe it's washing coffee cups or whatever. It's doing something else for someone else and not having to be somewhere else with someone else. I'm okay today. I'm okay with who I am. That's why I love my life. And before, I never was okay. You know? Stick around long enough to see the miracle happen. That's a short term, for the life of my reality has been wonderful. It's been in an existence of a broad highway. I am now starting to understand that I have a life to live, and it's not over. It's still beginning. I still wake up going, yeah, man, let's do it today. You know, and when stuff comes up and I need to take care of it, man, I got diabetes today. I got cancer stuff going on. I got more medical concerns. I got neuropathy. I got all this stuff. But you know what? I stay in front of it. I don't let it get me. I don't let it get me down. I don't let it beat me. I do the diet that I'm supposed to do to stay away from having high blood sugar. I take care of my body so I can stay out of the chemo office, right? I've been blessed today to be able to talk about that and to sit here today, that I don't know why sometimes people have to leave this world when they have cancer they couldn't beat, and I get to stay, right? And it sucks sometimes having to feel that. But at the same time, I'm really grateful that I have all of you, Alcoholics Anonymous, this book, believing in a God that now that I'm starting to understand, because I put the work in to understand it. I'm no longer the guy in the room who says, I don't know what my higher power is and I don't understand. That used to be the case, but today I can say, I understand his nature for me. It's not to hurt people. It's to be useful. He wants me not to analyze. He wants me to utilize. He wants me to keep it simple and not make it complex. I can go on and on, but I was told 8 o'clock is 8 o'clock, and it's 8:01. I want to thank all of you for being here tonight. I love you all, and thank God for my sobriety.
So, let's give another hand for Glenn. Thank you so much.